to The Gateway, your compass through the magical waters of spirit communication, broadcast live from United Public Radio Network 107.7 FM New Orleans. I'm your host, C.L. Thomas. So here's to another time change for most of us with the spring ahead. How is everyone out there doing with this? I, for one, am not doing well. I overslept on Monday and just been having a really hard time with the whole entire change. I wish we just didn't do it anymore, but alas, here we are. My guest tonight is a very special woman. She is an intuitive angel channeler as well as a teacher, and she's going to share her very interesting story with her work with the entity Mary Magdalene. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of you will think that this is going to be Christian. I promise you it is not. I would never have an entire Christian show on here, so it's not going to be totally Christian. Christine Alexander is the founder of the group Angel Chatter and has created an angel deck of cards, I think the first of its kind. I'm really honored to have her on tonight. Christine, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on, and it's so good to see you again.
It's been a long time since I've talked to you.
It's been like a month of Sundays, girl. It's been way too long.
It has. So for listeners out there, Christine and I go way back. She's helped me through some little bumps in the road, and she's helped me a lot, and I can't thank her enough for what she's done.
God, I'm going to get teary-eyed already. It's been my honor to watch your resilience, your perseverance, and your determination to share not just the truth or a truth, but to share you, and not to take no for an answer. And it's so admirable to watch what you have overcome and what you have become. And I know there's so much more in store for you. So just buckle up, Buttercup. It's going to be a fun ride.
So we've actually met a couple of years ago now at a mm-hmm. convention up in
Massachusetts.
The Boston area, Massachusetts. Yeah. Yes. And you've done a reading for me, and you had this gorgeous booth. Angel Chatter stuff. Why don't we start with you? I know we have a lot to cover, and I just have so many interesting questions about Mary Magdalene and your whole transition and finding her. But
bring on the questions.
How did you tell our audience? How did you get into angel chatter and communicating with angels?
Well, it turns out, you know, growing up way back in the 60s, I now know I'm an empath, which means I can sense when somebody's off. I can look at somebody and just intuitively feel what's going on with them. I can feel universal shifts, luckily not to the extreme, which I'm very grateful for. And I've always had this yearning. I mean, I was going to be a psychologist when I was in junior high. Guidance counselor came in and said, "What do you want to be?" And out of my mouth popped, "I want to be a psychologist because I want to help people." I thought, well, that was interesting because I really had not given it any thought up until that point. And fast forward, I ended up going to school for court reporting, which is so not anything remotely helping people. Decided that wasn't for me very, very quickly. And it wasn't until I got married and had children that Mama Bear realized I can't be everywhere to protect our daughters. And the angels went, "Oh my God, thank you, finally." And they started coming in, and I became curious. And I had always been curious about intuition and the whole psychic world. But, you know, a lot of it gets a bad rap, you know, 1-800-PSYCHIC. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my integrity, this is the way I was raised. My integrity is super important. You know, I'm not going to ever intentionally mislead somebody and try to sell them anything when I don't think it's going to benefit them, you know. And I've seen plenty of, well, you probably did too, in that show that we met, people that sell stuff just to make a buck. And we're in the business, a wonderful business, but I'm not going to sell things that are useless. So I started, you know, I took some Reiki classes. So I'm a Reiki master teacher. And then I went on to integrated energy therapy, became a teacher in that, became a teacher in magnified healing. And then I found a woman in the UK who has long stopped teaching. And I really liked what she taught, because it had some meat on the bone. It wasn't just, oh, come become an angel reader in a weekend. And I did a couple of those kinds of things, and I left more confused than I had answers. And that in itself was more than frustrating for me. And I became, because I'm so in earnest of wanting to help people, I didn't feel qualified because I didn't get any tools in that weekend. But this course had some meat on the bone. So delved into that. I became her first student. She allowed to do the course online. I basically badgered her, wore her down, and she finally just said, fine, yeah, we'll figure this out. And then studied crystals with her. So I'm a licensed crystal therapist, and I'm a certified Archangel Enlightenment therapist. And my husband kept saying, so what are you going to do with this? And I just kept going, I don't know. Are you going to start seeing clients? And I just go, I don't know. So I call those I don't know years, because that's what it was. It was like, I had no clue what I was doing. And it was like, I was having fun. I was really enjoying this whole exploratory of the spiritual realm, which is not religious. That's a lot of people think. They think automatically angels, you're religious. And like, no, religions, every religion that I'm aware of recognizes angels. There are four mentioned in the Bible, Michael, Raphael, Uriel, and Gabriel. There are cajillions of them. You know, you have a guardian angel, I have a guardian angel, and they're not the same one. You know, they are assigned to us the very first time, excuse me, we incarnated. But then we have multiple guides. And so I started thinking, well, maybe I will run this as a business. So I started putzing around and, you know, doing a reading here, doing an angel reading party there. But then the whole big thing was, what's my business going to be? You know, I don't know. my daughter at the time was a teenager, and she did the beautiful teenage thing. She went, mom, you chat with angels. Your business is angel chatter. Well, that's pretty cool. I like it. And then she came back about 10 minutes later, and here's your logo. And it's the one we still use. And then it was like, so we did a couple of shows or things, and I quickly realized that I'm only one person. I haven't figured out how to bilocate, so I can only do so many readings per show. So the income was capped. So then the very first product came out.
The angel cards.
The angel cards, the ones that you were most familiar with. And the Angel Chatter Oracle deck. I channeled the deck and guidebook in 2 weeks. And I now say channeled. Initially, I said I wrote it. And I wrote it. And it's true, I did. And we were at a show, and this young kid came up, was completely enamored with how the cards present themselves. He goes, oh, you channeled it. And I went, I did. You know, because this was still just so foreign to me that I had that kind of a gift that I could channel. I went, really? And he went, yeah. I'm like, okay. So then what makes this deck really, what makes the deck unique is how it's illustrated. You see the symbols, which I now know are sigils. And sigils are symbols that have energy behind them. So here we have Michael, and he's the angel of protection. He always has a sword. So his sigil was actually very easy to kind of figure out. But all the other ones, like Gabriel here, they're just lines. And then every angel is different. There are 14 in the deck. There are three things in common for the sigils. They all start at the circle and they all end at the line, and they can all be drawn in one motion. And when I realized they had power, they got made into jewelry. And then they adorn the entire sacred aromatherapy line, the candles, the misters, and the droppers, because it was a way for everybody to have access to them. whether they mm-hmm. want to wear it or have the their energy in the home. And then that people kept coming up, can you teach me? Can you teach me? And I went, again, really? You know, okay. So then I wrote a book, Angel Chatter, Heavenly Guidance and Earthly Practices. And then that book became the platform for what is now called the BU program. So it takes the angels that are in this deck and it goes deep. We talk in depth about each chakra, the crystal resonance for the angels, their areas of specialty. So for example, Sandalfon, I was working on his module and he said, we're going to talk about the Kabbalah. And I went, oh, really? I can barely spell Kabbalah because I've seen different versions of it. I've not, you know, I've been intrigued with it, but I had never, ever. He said, come on, let's go for a walk. And I went, okay. So I went for a walk in the woods where we lived in Northern Virginia at the time. And he explained it to the point where I was like, and don't ask me now, please don't ask me now. But I understood it enough and for the confines of the course that it became included. Not that I'm an expert, far from it, on the Kabbalah, but we added enough information. When I say we, it's me and the angels, that if you were intrigued, it could give you enough of some meat again. You can go study the Kabbalah, or you can go study the circadian rhythms as Raphael, or you can go study mudras as Jophiel wanted, or sacred geometry. So we took a lot of things out that weren't ever presented in any course that I studied, because I called back to all the questions I had and I addressed those. So those questions were at least would not come up. And I wanted people to get, and you know me well enough, you know, I always deliver, and this course over delivers as all the courses do, because it was just super important for people to become empowered.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's just it. It's, your overall message is powerful because it does give you a sense of empowerment. I've seen that in my own life. When I first heard of you, you were on another podcast and you were talking about the Archangel Michael. And I was driving, I think from Key West at the time, if I remember correctly. It was somewhere around, or it might have been New Orleans. I can't remember which. But I remember thinking, I was very depressed driving the entire way. And then your voice comes on and you're talking about angels and the other person that was interviewing you was talking about Archangel Michael. And I thought, in his connection with Archangel Michael. And also I thought the whole time was, there's no way an angel would ever intercede in my life. Who am I? I'm like a nobody. But then I started talking to you.
You have so learned differently, haven't you?
But for those out there, her deck is, it's a really gorgeous deck. I highly recommend it. I think there's 44 cards.
There are. That deck. That's that angel, magic angel number, right? It's 44 cards in that deck. And that's one of the really wonderful messages that the gang, is what I call them collectively, are always harping on, is that there is nothing too small. The perfect parking spot to the monumental of saving a life and everything in between. And that's the cool thing, because angels are non-religious, and because they are pure energy, we are the ones that made them humanoid looking. We're the ones that put wings and a halo on them. They're pure energy. They can and do show up as human. You know, there are such things as earth angels. And so in something as simple as tonight, my parents live in the same town we live in because we moved here to be close to them. And they invited us over for dinner. And the afternoon kind of got away from us. And I knew I wanted to be home by a certain time to get ready for you and me. I hit every green light going to mom and dad's. I have never made it to their home in 20 minutes, ever, ever. It's usually 30. I made it in 20. And because they knew we had the podcast tonight, they kicked us out before I said I needed to leave. So on the way home, I hit almost every red light. So, you know, these little things that they will, you know, it was in earnest. I think I really just want to get to mom and dad's so we can have a lovely dinner and conversation and, you know, just hang out for a little bit. And they said, okay, cool. Boom. There in record time, didn't speed once. And it was great. And on the way home, they're like, yeah, we can take our time. It's cool. So, that's the beauty of them. And, you know, we can talk the entire podcast as I share stories of different times that they have popped into my life. And some were, we averted accidents and other things like that. And some were just like, I wanted to get to mom and dad's and they made the lights happen, you know? So something as simple in the scheme of things as that to bigger issues, they have certainly interceded more than once. In fact, when I was working on Michael's chapter for the book, there I include my personal experience with each one of the angels in their chapter. And Michael is such an integral part of my life, but I couldn't think of one story. And I said, you know, what story? So at the time we were living in Northern Virginia, I was driving down here to visit my parents and the GPS took me on some cockamamie route. To this day, you could give me $1 million and I couldn't replicate it. I have no idea to this day where I was. All I know is the road was turning an awful lot. There were no shoulders. It was so narrow. There weren't even lines on the road. And at one point I started naturally pulling over to the right, had no idea why, but then I quickly knew right around the corner comes this big, huge truck, not an 18 wheeler, but it was pretty darn close. It was so high that when the truck passed me, I could not see the driver. And I just went, it's you. You know, and my knuckles turned white and the whole bit. And I shared that story with a friend of mine and she says, as soon as I read your email and I was like, oh my God, thank you that she's okay. Michael popped into her office and says, well, she wanted a story, you know? Aww. So Michael, out of all of them, I find has the biggest personality and he can be a bit of a comedian. You know, he's your big brother. Think of it that way. And what do big brothers do? They'll tease you to get you to do something, but they'll be the first ones to say, get behind me. I'm here to protect you. So, yeah, you know, and they're rather cool.
Tell me about Mary Magdalene. There's a lot of people out there who might not know who she is. I know I didn't at first.
So there are a lot of stories and none or very little of what I may or may not share tonight can be proven. So it's a collective knowing and that knowing deep in your heart. So going back again to when I was little, and this is like the only part that I will say is religious, because I know I had a life during that time. Who I was, I don't know. And I'm of the belief, I really don't care who I was, except how it pertains to me in this life. Am I going to heal this karma or is it going to be a tool that I can use to help others? But I remember that it was Good Friday. I was raised Catholic and I was just so bereft. And it wasn't how I was raised, but I was just energetically, I couldn't do it. And then going forward, decades later, my husband and I were in Italy and Italy just has gorgeous art everywhere, you know, out in the piazzas. And it's just an amazing country. It's not just great for, you know, espresso and food. It's the art. and there's this statue called the Penitent Magdalene, and she looks haggard and thin and wearing rags. And even though it's a bronze statue, the hair's unkempt and oily. And I just remember looking at that statue and I had no idea where this came from. And I was apologizing to her because I knew this wasn't who she was. Who she was, I didn't know. I mean, by then I had seen the Da Vinci Code because that was the really big thing. And I had seen other things. and read a few things here, a few things there, but hadn't understood that she and I had this connection. But I was beginning, again, getting to get curious about why am I so drawn to this biblical woman, because I'm not religious, but I'm really drawn to her, and why? And I read some more novels, and because that's where you can read a lot of, you know, Woman in an Alabaster Jar, those kinds of books, and they can, and they're wonderful books, but they can be very heady. I like the stories and that personality to come forward, so I can kind of immerse myself into it. And so I started kind of paying attention to her a little bit more. I went to a seminar out in Arizona, I think it was, and talked about her a little bit. So, there was an opening that was starting. And I finally took the plunge, and I did. I traveled to France and followed Mary Magdalene's footsteps. And one of the stops was to her basilica in Balm. And I am not a cryy person. I can get teary when I get happy and I'm really touched, and I'll get all verklempt and that, but I am not one to start bawling in public. Like, never happens. You know, I have to maintain control of the things, right? I go down to where they have her skull, and I am sobbing to the point I've got snot coming out of my nose. I've got the heaving, and it's just, and I'm going, what the heck is going on? And we were there for a few days, and almost every single time I went down, I start bawling all over again. I'm going wackadoo. I have no idea what's going on. And unfortunately, I didn't bring it into the studio with me. But this church, because her skull was encased with fabric, and then it's within, you know, I forget what the outside is at this point. But, you know, it's a natural fiber, the fabric. And they went to clean it, and they realized her skull was now basically rattling around in here. And they went, we can't have that. So they unpacked it, repacked it, but they went, what are we going to do with this fabric? So they decided to have a fundraiser for the church, and they've made necklaces and keychains. And I went with the intention I was going to get one, because I knew about these necklaces. I kept walking past the gift shop. I didn't even see the gift shop until this particular day. And I go in, and I'm letting everybody else, you know, do their human thing. They got to get their piece. And I'm like, you know, if there's one there for me, great. If not, I've certainly had my experience. I'm good. So everybody stepped aside, and I found one that I really liked. It was the only one that had a filigree edge and the only one that was on sale. Seriously, who puts a relic on sale? But
somebody who doesn't know what they have.
But the church did, but it was the only one out of the whole collection that was on sale. It was just the craziest thing. And when after I wrote the Angel Chatter deck, I quickly knew there was another deck in me. And a friend of mine at the time said, oh, it's an Archangel Michael deck. So I listened and I leaned in, and it was painful to work. I'm like, nope, that's not it. And I've learned that when it gets to that painful thing, it's not supposed to happen. So when I came back from France, she said, oh, by the way, that deck is mine. And I went, oh. So now we have the Empowered Heart deck. And when this debuted, it was one of two decks in the entire world that was solely dedicated to her. Now, she's in many decks, like a goddess deck, where they have multiple, but this was one of two that it was entirely dedicated to her. So again, the necklace I'm wearing tonight is the sigil that I channeled from her. It's the combination of the divine feminine, the divine masculine. Stand still. And you'll see a little diamond in the center that it creates with the ruby, because ruby is a bit of that royal blood. And then the deck emerged. So much smaller in size, very easily. And her sigil, once again, is within each card, and the messages with the guidebook. So the sigil being that powerful then came out into a candle as well as a sacred oil, and then obviously the necklace. And then I started, I guess about a year ago, I was encouraged by some peers to start a sacred community. So it's a membership community. It's $48 a month. And we meet twice monthly via Zoom, where I channel her, and then she will answer questions from those that are present or from those that can't be present, but have, they want an answer for something. So they'll send in their message ahead of time. And then, you know, it's all recorded and it's lovely. It really is, because her energy, she's funny, but she thinks she's funnier than she is at times. But so it's rather adorable. I don't remember a lot of what comes out of my mouth when I'm channeling her. She can be very forthright. But
who was she in life? Was she, there's a lot of theories that are, oh, Joe Fox says hello, by the way.
Hello,
Joe. There's a lot of theories about who she was. Was she married to Jesus? Was she, who was she really?
My belief, and she has not, and I'm opened to other concepts, because we can't prove anything, but I am convinced, can't prove it, that she was married to Yeshua, Jesus, and they did have children. I'm confident they had two, maybe three. The third one is still very vague. The first one prior to his death, and then pregnant with the second. So maybe that's it. Maybe they had two, because that's what's coming out of my mouth now. At the crucifixion.
Technically, Jesus could have some hares walking around the planet right now.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, there are groups that are determined to trace your current family heritage, you know, like, you know, genealogy. And there is some belief, again, you know, there's no DNA floating around, so you can't literally prove it. But there's a lot of, if you look at the royal family in England, they were all, you know, they were in Germany, they were in Russia, they were all over the place, that there is that connection, that there is part of that there. I have German heritage. I'm more or less a mutt, but one of them is German. And I had a great aunt and she was a very intelligent woman. So she wasn't like the great aunt that sat in, you know, and rocked in a rocking chair and knitted things. Very, very intelligent, had access. And I mean this sincerely, had access to top secret information, swore up and down that we were related to Mary of Teck, King Edward's the fifth consort, but could never trace it, because there's a gap in our family history. But it stands to reason that we would, given where she lived and where my family is from. But that lineage can be connected back to Mary and Yeshua's lifetime. I am not saying I'm one of their descendants by any stretch of the imagination. But it's interesting to think about. I'm like, well, that's kind of cool. But again, what does it do for me now? You know, how is it going to benefit this life and how I can help others? And one of the ways I get to channel her. So
is that what the Da Vinci Code was all about, with the Holy Grail?
Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of the Holy Grail is their lineage, you know, the children and how they were hidden, because she, after that, she did flee because, you know, they were Jewish. So the irony is that they weren't Christian. It's another conversation for another time. They were Jewish.
It's getting deep.
It is. It can. but it's not religious based, but you know, they were Jewish and then things got converted on down the road. But she went to Egypt, did a quick respite, so to speak, in Egypt, basically kind of to catch her breath. And then Joseph of Arimathea, then, because he was quite wealthy, they then set sail where she landed in France, because it was beyond the Roman Empire, because she was then being tracked, and as they all were, and if they were caught, it wouldn't end so well for them. So she had children to consider. It wasn't just herself. So she went beyond the Roman Empire, which was at the time France. So she stayed within France for the, you know, she traveled minutely, going to England, what we would now call Glastonbury, but lived predominantly throughout France the remainder of her life.
So in modern times now, if somebody wanted to connect with Mary as a figure of spiritual guidance or inspiration, how can they do that?
That is a really good question. I'm asking her. It will be like anything that you ask, and you know, she's kind of interfering when I start stuttering, so I apologize ahead of time. When you are requesting with sincerity, you're not requesting for fame and fortune. You're not requesting to, for belittling or revenge. You know, you're doing it from that place of love, because that is what she stands on more than anything else, is that platform of love. And when there is that love, your light naturally shines and others can be deterred by it, because the light can become so strong, but they can also be triggered to the point that they remember they too have a light that needs to be ignited and let go. So how best to connect her? One, you know, you can get a deck of cards. You can light a candle. You know, you can do all these logical things. But if you wanted to go into meditation, it's honestly being in earnest. And whenever I've encountered any spiritual guides, you know, I've got a Cyclops that I've met since we've moved here. I have White Buffalo Woman. I obviously have Mary Magdalene. I've channeled God. I've channeled Yeshua, the angels. It's just being in earnest that you're doing it. I'm insatiably curious.
You know, the first time I've heard another psychic medium say that he was channeling Jesus, I kind of thought he was absolutely out of his mind. But when you really think about it, why couldn't you
exactly
channel these different figures?
And that was my thought too. I was like, who am I to be doing this? And then I said, well, you know, wait a minute. What am I sharing with my clients when they say, well, who am I to be having a podcast? I'm like, well, who aren't you? Why can't you? You know, we all have different gifts. And I went, all right, practice what you preach, Chris. And, you know, so it was one of those. And knowing, if I go back to my childhood, you know, I've channeled ETs before too. And it's really cool because, you know, I have different, you know, a wide variety of clients, and some really get out there. I've had some of the craziest energies come through with them because they are just so open that, like, this one time I started channeling an ET and it was all clicking, and she's worked with me for years, and she's like, she had never told me that she apparently does this at night. And I went, well, there you go. So it's just being open, being protected, which is why Michael is always the one I mentioned first, because so many want to, it's like in the BU program, the intuition module is like way down. It's way down the list. And I've had more than one student say, can I jump ahead to that one? And the answer is no. Well, why not? It's like, because you need to be grounded in order to be a clear channel. I want to know, I've offered you protection tools. So the information you get, you're still safe. Because if there's light, you know, there's dark, right? We've all encountered darker energies. We've all encountered quasi or the real dark nights of the soul. We've hit that place. So we know it can exist. So why make yourself open to that energy? So protection, curiosity, being earnest, and understanding why you want this. You know, why are you? So a lot of times when I get these now normal energies that I channel, initially it was because it was going to help that client. You know, they had
that. I think that's the point.
Yeah, you know, they had this energy, they really wanted to. So we open up our home a few times a year for private clients, and it's just like you and me, babe. You see, can't hide. And she and I were taking a walk in the woods, and I started talking like this, and I'm going, and I'm looking at her, and she's like, I don't know. And I'm going, and the guy followed us home, and we got information out of him. It turns out he's a relative of hers that used to live in the area, but had no idea until he showed up, and then she was able to trace enough of that information, but she needed that information for part of where she was going. So so that was a really cool, a very, very cool incident. So it's because I'm all about service.
Right. And it's interesting that the spirit world will give you pieces like that when you need it most.
Exactly. From
the most strange, it could be from the most strange resources that you would never even consider.
Couldn't said it better myself. And you're absolutely right. It's that because we can go, I want to get to mom and dad's for dinner. And it's that true feeling, you know, I just want to get there and have a good time. There's no agenda. I just want to go and, you know, enjoy. And they're like, okay, you know, and things happen, you know, and it's, so, you know, how many have said they wanted to win the lottery, you know, but there's a part of us that when we say it, we're like, yeah, right. You know, we chuckle like, yeah, huh? Yeah, we've all said it, but it's right. But so there's not that same kind of energy behind it. We don't understand why we want to, other than we think it's going to be rather cool. Or we can say we did it, but when we understand our whys, for anything,
that intention is everything.
It becomes easier to create, connect with energies, with real, you know, with humans, and begin to experience the magic in your life that you really want versus what you think you want. So, and that's
the magic with Mary.
And that's what I was going to say. And that's the one of the things with Mary, you know, when in respite a while ago, this woman, again, she's been with me, she's a student, client on again, off again, and she has since joined respite. And she is very good at saying, well, just tell me what I need. She called her on the carpet in 2 seconds flat. Basically, why don't you ever ask a question? Why do you let others decide what you need to know? And she went, oh, okay then, you know. I guess I just got called out by the Magdalene. So it's that, don't be afraid to ask and go after what you want, right? Don't be and think it's not impossible, because it is. You know, go ahead, honey.
Here's a kind of an off topic question. I was just thinking about the channeling of ETs. Mm-hmm. Since we're all interconnected and consciousness is all the same, Does that mean that the ETs are connected to Mary Magdalene on some level?
That is a really interesting question. And on some level, absolutely, yes. You know, I, again, believe that ETs have been walking around the earth for as long as the earth has existed. So who's to say that they weren't walking the earth with her in France, in the cave, you know, that's where she lived for many, many years. Absolutely. You know, because especially when you reach the level of ascended master or beyond, you know, your energy again, and energy can be everywhere at the same moment. So she can be here in this studio, she can be in your studio, and not just because of the screen, but that's energy. You know, and I don't say I am the only one that can channel Mary Magdalene. That's just plain stupid. that, you know, there are others that certainly do, but all of it is still filtered through our humanness. I know when she first started calling on me, and she would say, well, Christine, when she did this, and I could feel myself going, you know, and it's just, it felt weird saying my name, but it wasn't me talking. It was just the weirdest thing. So you get, your ego starts stepping aside a lot, and you just allow the words to come through.
Well, here's a question, and I don't mean it to be, you know, feminist or anything, how does Mary Magdalene's portrayal in art and literature and spiritually reflect a cultural attitudes towards femininity?
Would you like her to answer for you?
Yes.
Okay, so would you like her to come in? She's been kind of hanging out here for a while, and she's been kind of waiting. So I think she would like to have some fun with this one.
And you know, the reason I ask is because the paranormal world is such a male dominant field. So
yes,
it is a lot of other fields for that matter.
And let me answer your questions now, my darling. The feminist attitude, of course, is the equality. And that is what my beloved and I agreed upon. And that is what we preach. And that is the truth that we share, that all indeed are equal. So there were the dark ages, were there not? There were times when women were belittled. And let us face it, it is still in that realm of being belittled and being not smart enough and being underpaid. However, and that is not a case of I am woman, hear me roar. This is the institution of equality. For all are all not equal in the energy of love? And of course it is. Do all not have gifts that they may share? The issue is, my darling, is that all have been, shall we say, experienced life. And when life, as you would say, when life happens, one can become disgruntled, discouraged. They begin to play small. And unfortunately, the role of women throughout history, and sure, certainly, I have experienced that myself when I walked the earth. The others, as I was my beloved's equal, that was not, shall we say, was not looked upon kindly by some of his followers. And that is indeed why I was demoralized throughout history. I was demeaned, said I had demons within me, and they were not demons. I was an empowered woman. I still am an empowered woman. I had the gifts of being a seer. I had the gifts of healing where I could heal just as much as my beloved could. However, that did not make certain men happy. What better way to disarm a woman who is single than to ridicule her, to shame her, to create what you would say libel and slander. That is one of the reasons that we now are here, is to begin to eradicate and break down these mindsets that women are equally powerful as men. Both have gifts and both have lessons to learn. However, energetically, they are truly equal. Do you have a question for me before I depart?
I do not. Thank you.
It is my pleasure. We are complete. So, sorry, that is how she will come in very quickly. Sorry, I get a little dizzy sometimes. It was a quick intro, quick and then out. But she can be quite direct, and that is how she rolls. That is, she is equated with the word perseverance, certainly tenacity, never giving up, like someone else I know, and always standing in her truth, but learning, which is the lesson I'm still working on, that all aren't really ready to hear what they can do. Because if you have the gift of knowing what someone could become, sometimes they really don't want to hear it. Sometimes they really want to just kind of revel in that little pity party. And I will recognize and I will honor you there, but I won't play with you there. You know, I will keep pushing you and showing you ways that you can help yourself. I have a client that her life, well, actually more than one, but the one that I'm thinking of, her life has transformed from where she was to where she is now. And it's a wonderful thing, because she finally said, okay, you know what? The shoulda, coulda, wouldas, I got to stop them, because otherwise I'm never going to get anywhere. So now I'm ready. What can I do? What can I do to live how I want to live and where I want to live and all those things? So, and that's one of the things, as a Magdalene recognizes the world's change. You know, we have electricity, she didn't, you know, things like that. We have, you know, all sorts of luxuries we take for granted, heat, air conditioning, that she didn't. And she recognizes the modernization of humans, but also the demise in many ways of humankind, because we've become so connected, we've actually become disconnected. So
especially the last few years.
Exactly. So she's very hot to trot, so to speak, of gathering more people to relax into their power, to relax into their light, know that no matter what they look like physically, they're beautiful, because there is that own sense of divinity within them. And they have a gift. And it doesn't matter what the, so when we were raising our daughters, we said, so we really don't care what you do when you get older. It has to have two rules. It has to be legal, and you have to make enough money, because you're not living with us the rest of your life. So do what you want to do. We don't care. We'll support you however we can, so you can do that. And that's something I still work with clients. I don't care what you do. If you want to be a garbage collector, be the best garbage collector there is. We need you. If you want to be, you know, the best podcaster out there, great. Let's do it. You know, so it really, it doesn't matter.
You talk about You talked about overcoming being a victim and all that sort of thing throughout Mary's life, but so much of her life is also about forgiveness and redemption.
Absolutely, because if we hold on to that anger, that injustice that was done to us, you done me wrong, if you hold on to it, you know what happens? You're the one that continues to be hurt. The people that did it to you, they don't care. They've moved on.
Yeah, they win.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So the more that you harp on that you done me wrong and I'll get my revenge, you're hurting, you're dimming your own light. And so when you forgive somebody, and I mean really forgive somebody, you give back to yourself. So as an example, I had a client years ago when I was just first starting out, and she had ovarian or uterine cancer. It's been so long, I don't remember. And she wanted to come to see me for energy healing. And so we were having our first meet and greet. And I said, I'm sorry, I have to ask you, when did the abuse happen? And she looked at me and her mouth dropped. She says, you are the fourth person to ever know the man who did it to me, me, and my husband. So she had been sexually abused. So it wasn't a far jump energetically to see that she had held this, because she was young, she had held the shame that this happened and she couldn't tell anybody. And it developed literally into cancer. So we worked on her energetically, but we also worked on her for forgiveness. And that gentleman was still in her life because it's a family member. She literally forgave him. Then her cancer went into remission. It's that powerful of when we can let go of that pain. Because sometimes we can get so steeped into it that it becomes our identity, you mm-hmm. know, and that relationship, excuse me, can never be healed, or you can't move on from that point, and your chakras just get all discombobulated and nothing's working in harmony at all anymore. And life seems to get worse. And I'm just going to keep blaming that person. Well, they may have initiated it. But if we can forgiving doesn't mean forgetting. And that's something that people tend to get confused on. You still remember, but you take lessons from that. I've had teachers that I've seen belittle students. I've had teachers or mentors that when I started getting more powerful, they started dissing me. And your first thought was, what did I do wrong? And then you realize I didn't do anything wrong. It's their stuff and their insecurity, their insecurities coming out. And when I realized that, I was able to forgive them. And then the cool thing is we really didn't have anything else to discuss after that, because at a deeper level, I healed the karma between us. So there was no need to communicate anymore. I was like, next, because there's a whole line after that one. That's not like it's not a one and done and you're good forever. But it's not that it's a game, but it becomes easier when you don't let yourself stay in that muck.
Right.
And you can go, okay, what can I learn from this? Maybe I'm not going to treat people like this because this is how I was treated and it was horrible. And how can I then better treat others? Oh, okay. I'm not going to judge them because they're purple or pink polka dotted striped people. I am not, and maybe who knows, they're autistic. I've had people in my life and who are very spiritual. But then they'll diss somebody because they walk to a different drummer, which I find hysterical because it's even in that this whole spiritual community, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, oh, which, yeah, by the way, I can't stand that term because anytime anybody says, oh, love I'm like, mm-hmm, yeah, sure. No. So it's the forgiveness is very, very big. And redemption doesn't exist. You redeem yourself by just becoming stronger. You become stronger by allowing you to come out to play more. And just speaking your truth. And you know you're speaking more of a truth when you can use this inside voice versus the moment you start yelling. You know, it's not when your favorite athletic team is winning or something like that, and, you know, in excitement, but you are yelling in anger, you know you're not heart-based anymore. Now I'm out to hurt you. But when you can speak calmly, there's a better chance of everything getting resolved with greater ease. So there may not even be needed a thing for forgiveness. So it's not a fine line, but it's that knowing within you of not putting anybody on a pedestal. Been there, mm-hmm. done that on both sides, and it never works out well.
Never works out. Right? Yep.
It never. That's a long drop off that pedestal. But seeing others that you can learn from, you can be inspired by somebody. You know, so I am certainly inspired by the Magdalene, her perseverance, and always, you know, she literally lived in a cave. So knowing that, and here, you know, I have a much larger house that's our home with windows and drapery, you know, all I've got wall-to-wall carpeting, right? You know, so what do I have to complain about? But so looking at that and going, but then look at the life she lived and going, okay, just stop and let's rethink this and what's really important now.
So if somebody out there listening wants to start working with Mary, mm-hmm. how can they do that?
Well, one, they can reach out to me and we can do, they can join Respite. And all of this is at angelchatter.com. They can join the Respite community and get to know her. And that it's a formal but yet informal scenario. They can certainly have a private reading with me where I channel her specifically for them. They can read about her. There are gobs and gobs of books out there. And it's really ask her to suggest the right book for you because it depends where you are on your path. Do you want to go more to that heady, perhaps more religious space? Not that it's going to be religious space, but there's going to be a lot more biblical references within these books. Or do you want to go more to a quote unquote historical fictional novel or something in between? There's certainly different varieties of channeled music. I had a good fortune of meeting a gentleman, his name is David Bailey, when we stopped in Rennes Chateau in France. And David is a world-class pianist. He's played for the royal family in UK, but then went back to his roots, went back to Rennes. And he now channels and holds private concerts. And he has lovely music available on his website. And he can actually even write your soul song. And it's like, wow, it's primo. It's just amazing, amazing stuff. But apparently there's a couple of David Bailey musicians out there. So you're looking for the David Bailey that's a little bit older, white hair. And it's davidbailey-music.com. Pretty sure that's it. Because I had a student ask for his contact information actually just today. Which is why he's fresh in my mind. So there's all sorts of ways to connect. You can light candles that have her energy in it. You can wear jewelry, again, that has her energy in it.
It's all about intentions.
It really is. It really is. And I'm trying to think if I'm missing something.
You know, one of the things you could do too, I've tried this with Archangel Michael, is ask for a specific thing and give a time period on it. Like, I remember I needed some answers a couple years ago, and I couldn't believe that the Archangel Michael actually stepped in my life to change a specific thing that was going on. Yeah. And I thought I was going crazy. So I asked the universe, I said, you know what, if this really is Archangel Michael, I want this, this, and this by midnight Thursday. It was like, I think it was a 48-hour time frame. Okay. Yep. And lo and behold, all of those things appeared.
Of course it did.
If you're listening out there, try it. Try it.
Oh, it's amazing. It's a great game. I did this very same thing myself years ago. We were living on the island of Chincoteague, and I was like, oh, am I doing the right? I was having my own little pity party. Am I doing the right thing? Am I just like full of my meh, 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 meh. And I was like, you know what? And they're like, oh my God, here she goes again. So I'm walking around, walking her dog at the time. And I said, okay, I want a sign that's angelic in nature by Sunday. I don't care what it is, but it has to be so obvious that I can't second guess this. Sunday morning, our youngest daughter sent me a screenshot of what was on TV at that moment. I kid you not, every single show had the word angel in it. And they go,
it works every time.
And they go, is that good enough? Like, fine. Yes, it's good enough. I will keep persevering and doing my thing.
Christine, we're at the bottom of the hour already. I can't even believe it. But you, what are you doing these days? Are you doing shows? Are you writing children's books? What are you doing?
No more children's books for now. We are only doing two shows this year. We're doing one actually in a couple of weeks in Edison, New Jersey. It is the Heart of Oneness. So that's in April. And then the second show, the one you and I got a chance to finally meet in person, is in Massachusetts in November. It's a great show. And the Heart of Oneness has the same kind of caliber as that show. So those are the only two shows I'm doing this year, working on yet another book. And I too am going to be starting a podcast. And it's all converging at the same time. It's going to be a podcast with a book and a course, and there's candles. It's like all of this thing is just like blowing up in my brain. It's blowing up. It's not blowing up anywhere else yet, but because it's all happening at the same time. And like a lot of people, because we've entered the year of the Wood Dragon, Chinese New Year, very auspicious year, very seriously, very, very magical. We are in this portal right now that, I mean, more powerful than I can remember in recent times. And the angels give every year a theme, and this is the year of harmony. So if you have been doing that self-work and have let go of physical clutter and that mental clutter and things like that, this year is going to be a whole lot easier. That's not to say it's going to be a walk in the park, or if you haven't, it's going to be very difficult, but you have these opportunities to get rid of what's not working so you can do what you really want to be doing.
Okay.
So it's going to be a great year.
And clients can contact you on angelchatter.com, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yep. So angelchatter.com is my exclusive product line. And that means I've either written the books, channeled the decks, or signed off, designed the jewelry, that stuff. Or if they want to look into our course offerings, they can go to angelchatteracademy.com, where we have about a half a dozen courses now that we offer. The BU program's the big one. Then I have a bunch of what I call itty bitties. They're three modules. They're only $23. So if it's it's not a quick fix, you know, again, I over deliver, but an itty bitty for manifestation, intuition, self-love, because that's a big one. That's like a whole nother podcast for you and me. So there's, you know, all these different things that when you're ready, the course is there.
Well, Christine, thank you so much for being a guest.
Thank you, darling. You're amazing. Thank you for having me on. And I'm so glad we got a chance to do this.
You've been listening to The Gateway, your portal to the unexplained and mystical and otherworldly, broadcast live from United Public Radio Network, 107.7 FM New Orleans. You can find me online or on social media to find out the latest in books and artwork created by me at www.clthomas.org. Until next time.